What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 206 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you today. We were supposed to record this episode Thursday night, but out of nowhere, I got hit with an unbelievably bad migraine, just completely put me down for the evening. So we're recording it early Friday morning, going to try to get it out to you Friday afternoon. We have a lot to talk about because the TWAB out of nowhere, TKO-ing some stuff that people like to use, quick draw, bastion, shotguns, a whole bunch of stuff across the board. And they did preemptively warn us that it was going to be talking about nerfs this time. There are going to be buffs to follow in the future, but we have what I feel like is some meaty changes to discuss and a lot of theory crafting to do.
Yeah, it's a big week. It's really a pretty small list of changes, but definitely impactful. And I feel like we can't forget to mention the tweet that possibly invalidated 1,000 breakdowns. That Thresh is a Crucible perk now. So that's gonna take some thought. And maybe that's something for us to revisit down the road. I feel like we're gonna have to really do some testing and kind of go back and say, okay, so we think Thresh is good on this list of weapons. But boy, it has been a week for changes that really impact the sandbox.
Yeah, at this point, it's not even like Thresh is good on these weapons. It's like, do you use your weapon in PvP Thresh? Because, you know, it only the bonus that it gives is kind of a small bonus, but as with all things in PvP, it adds up. And if you can get your super 10 to 20 seconds faster than someone else can get their super, especially in something like Trials, that's a round win right there. And in something like Control, that may mean one extra super over the course of a match. And those are big things. I'm personally not a fan. I was actually happy that Thresh did not work in PvP because I hate supers, and I can't believe that now we're going to potentially have even more of them, especially in combination with ridiculous things like Battle Harmony and just all these other things that already have the ability to charge your super incredibly fast. I mean, I've seen people getting supers in less than 2 minutes into a match right now, which is just insane.
So. It is definitely concerning. You know, I feel like it's a perk that I want basically just on the weapon that I'm going to main, whether that's a special or a primary, and then probably not on whatever the weapon is that I'm running as a backup option.
Let's not put Thresh on heavy weapons for PvP just yet. But your primary, whatever it is, special or actually a primary, whatever your primary weapon is, whatever you're getting the most kills on, or whatever you're using to pair into something like Nezirax Sin, which triggers off of void kills, or Battle Harmony, which triggers off of matching your elemental weapon to your subclass. I also saw someone who was like, you can use Osmosis to make your kinetic into something that matches your subclass to double trigger Battle Harmony and or to double trigger Nezirax Sin, so that you can have two void weapons for Nezirax or two subclass matched weapons for Battle Harmony. And then if you also have Thresh and Osmosis on it, you can basically be quintupling like your super gain by doing something like that, which is just crazy.
I really feel like Thresh is not going to remain a PvP perk.
I certainly hope it doesn't. Or the amount that it gives is going to be brought down. But we have completely skipped our housekeeping. I believe we have some Patreon news this week.
Yeah, so we have a bunch of shoutouts since our last recording session. So let me go ahead and get those rolling here. In something resembling chronological order, big thank you to Mr. Gigglestuff for joining the Patreon. Thank you so much for your pledge and support. Thank you to Trillside for your pledge and support. We appreciate that. Thank you to Medic FMF for joining the Patreon crew. Thank you also to A Solitary Bird for joining up with us. So we've had a big week for the Patreon as well. So thank you so much to all four of you for jumping in. I think I've seen all of you on Discord already. Love that. That community is it's hopping.
Which I could be wrong here, but don't we have a new sponsor? Didn't
Well, so that we save the sponsor for the new month. The sponsor shoutouts. I always save for the new month, just because. And I don't. This has never happened with a sponsor, but it has happened with a patron, a few times where people will pledge, we'll shout them out, and then they'll cancel, just immediately. I don't think that's going to happen.
So we gotta allow the sponsor to sit in here for a month, and then once they've been a sponsor for a month, then we give them a new shout out. So
right.
Whoever you are, you know who you are.
Yes.
We see you, and we are acknowledging you. We are not forgetting that we now have potentially a third sponsor joining the ranks of the all time greats.
But yeah, but we have to let the system do its thing, and just you know. Just because we don't want to be shouting out every random who wants us to shout them out, so we try to do it legit. On that note, though, big thank you to our ongoing sponsors, ZensoCal and Shazzle. Thank you so much for your massive support. We really appreciate it, as we do all of our ongoing patrons and their generous support. Man, it's been a really crazy year, but I feel like it's been it's weird to say this, but I feel like it's been a really good year for the podcast. Just in terms of the level of support that people have shown us, not just on Patreon, but in Discord, people have just been jumping in, and the community has just been livelier and more engaged than ever. And you know, I assume it probably has something to do with wider events and people needing a place to go and to connect. And it's just been awesome to see that happening in our Discord. So thank you so much to everyone who's been a part of that. Looking forward to another great year.
Yeah. Definitely hope 2021 is as good as 2020 was for the show. As far as podcast reviews, I did see the aggregator's number ticked up, so I do know that we have one review, but it has not collected it yet, which means it is probably an international review, so hopefully it'll be in by the time we record next week. So we don't have any podcast reviews to read out this week. Remember, if you guys would like to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we actually had someone last week just leave us a review on Twitter because they didn't have Apple Podcasts. We've had people send us reviews on Reddit. I actually had one person send me a review on Xbox Live one time, which I thought was very interesting. So if you want to leave us a review wherever you guys listen to it, we would be happy to read it out and give you an additional shout out. But that being it, I think that is all of the housekeeping. We can dive right in to this TWAB. We discussed this before the show. We are going to save Quick Draw and the changes for last because that is going to be an extremely meaty discussion filled with lots of debate. So what we're going to talk about instead, and it is really funny that like there were only like 8 changes that they made in this thing, none of which are like monster gigantic changes with the exception of the quick draw one. But man, it has shaken up the way the community is looking. Probably the most important thing to talk about first, aggressive 120 hand cannons are having their damage and aim assist fall off distance reduced by between 2 and 4 meters depending on the range stat. And they said this roughly halves the buff that they received in Beyond Light. So the buff that they received in Beyond Light pushed them out. You know, I feel like, it feels like it was like 10 meters. They're saying 2 to 4 meters roughly has it, so it'd be 8 meters, right? But it feels like it was about 10 meters, especially if you get one with, you know, a perk that pushes range out even further, like Killing Wind or something, right? Or you get a damage boosting perk that basically effectively pushes range out even further. How are you feeling about a 2 to 4 meter decrease in the range of these 120s?
You know, it's a smaller change, but I'm a big fan of them taking this kind of measured step right now. I think that this is much better than just wrecking an archetype the way that we saw it happening just every few months in Destiny 1, it seemed like. So I'm good with this change for the moment. I think it is going to be something that's going to throw some people off for a week or two. And we're going to see some people probably stop using these, probably not a ton of people, because they have a lot of other benefits, and now that people have gotten used to using them, It's gonna be tough to really get them to stop. That said, they do have to be a little bit closer, and it does give some other weapons just, you know, about 2 to 4 meters more space to breathe. Looking at pulse rifles specifically, I think, getting just a little bit more breathing room in terms of being able to possibly outrange these guns. There's going to be some more lanes on the map where a hand cannon player has to get closer in order to be truly effective. And that is probably not going to be enough, I would say, to truly change the current meta, but I think it may make it a little bit less oppressive. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest issue with the 120s is I actually thought the range that they got pushed out to would have been okay in the grand scheme of the sandbox if we had not had almost every large map removed from PvP.
Oh, for sure.
And if pulse rifles had not had their range blanket nerfed a while back, basically just because of Blast Furnace, got all pulse rifles range blanket nerfed. I thought if those two things had not happened, 120s actually would have been in a fun spot, but they did happen. And so what we have is we have only a couple of even medium-sized maps. Most of the maps are just flat-out small, which means 120s can cover almost every sightline across almost every map. And then pulse rifles, which normally would be outranging those hand cannons by, you know, 5 to 10 meters, got their range nerfed to where they were basically equivalent to 120s, but significantly harder to use because of all the benefits that 120s offer, like the high single-shot damage and the really high aim assist and the ability to be in the air and the ability to peak shoot and things like that, right? So what happens is when you have a pulse rifle that's equivalent to a 120, they're not really equivalent to each other. The 120 is better. So I think what this has actually done is people were saying, oh, do you think that this is going to bring 140 hand cannons up a bit? I think it'll allow 140s to be used slightly more effectively, but the gap between 140s and 120s is still quite large in terms of range. I think the big winners from this, like you said, are going to be pulse rifles. Because pulse rifles are now actually, hopefully, going to outrange 120s and be able to start dealing or keep dealing full damage when 120s can't. And what a lot of people don't always necessarily realize is that damage fall off and aim assist fall off start at one point, but that gun remains at full effectiveness up to point X outside of that, right? So a 120 hand cannon, 2 crit 1 bodies for the kill. Even after damage fall off starts, it's still 2 crit 1 bodies for a distance outside of that.
Yeah. Right?
And what this does is this actually pulls it down to where now potentially you need 3 crits, which is much harder to do. Or maybe you even need 4 shots, which is much harder to do instead of 3, right? That really jumps that time to kill up to 1.1 or 1.5 seconds instead of 1.0 seconds. So this will have knock-on effects. I'm happy to see it. Like you, I agree that these small measured changes are oftentimes better. One of my previous favorite games, War Thunder, although anybody who out there has played it probably really has their own issues with the developer Gaijin, the Russian developer who makes that game. But one of the things that they do is they make very small changes on a relatively rapid pace, and they try to avoid just absolutely completely tanking something. They don't always successfully do it. Sometimes they just destroy stuff, but they try to avoid doing that, and they'll make small changes very quickly, right? And that's what I like to see, because I feel like you're able to find balance much more easily than you are wildly swinging the pendulum from like absolute garbage, incredibly overpowered, which is what Bungie has kind of done in the past. So I'm really happy that they're saying, hey, we're just going to knock a couple meters off of it. We're going to let it see how it goes. And you never know. Maybe this helps to shake the meta up a little bit more than people think it will.
Yeah, I really look forward to seeing how things shake out. You know, I'd say 2 to 3 weeks out, we should see kind of, you know, what the true takeaway is going to be. That first week is, I think, not going to be really a fair assessment. Some people are going to be overreacting. Other people are going to be trying to figure out, you know, right where that fine line is that they can ride to make it effective. And, you know, eventually those two groups will meet. And we'll see who keeps using them and who doesn't.
Usage will fall and other guns' usage will rise. It might not come down. I mean, what was it? 120 has made up like 31% of all kills or something in trials a couple weeks ago. So it's like, you know, maybe it'll come down to in the 20s as opposed to 31%. Some other stuff will come up. I don't think it's going to immediately push 120s back to being the least used hand cannon archetype.
Yeah, yeah. I think really for and you know, I don't know if that's the worst thing. They've never had a time to shine in Destiny ever. So you know, they're getting their chance now, and we'll see how long it lasts.
Yep. Then next one's kind of a PvE thing, but the Vortex Frame Swords, which is Falling Guillotine, basically. They said now that it is no longer going to be Sunset, we do have to make a change to it. So they are going to keep its high damage output. However, the heavy attack now costs 6 instead of 4. I also got to say that I think that this is a pretty good change. I mean, swords for specifically Falling Guillotine for quite some time has been an extraordinarily powerful PvE DPS tool.
You know, I feel like I shouldn't say this, but honestly, I would keep using it even if it cost 8. Like, 8 would really be the point where I would have to think about it. At 6, I'll pay that cost. It's still worth it to me.
Because you're still going to do a ton of damage. You're just going to have less heavy hits to do.
Yeah. But, you know, there are a lot of ways to get around that. If you plan on dishing out major damage, you just spec into it. Throw on all the perks, and you'll have plenty of Falling Guillotine ammo. Yeah. So
although we're not PvE players, like, we do understand the difference between burst DPS and sustained DPS, right? The burst DPS remains the same on Falling Guillotine. It's the sustained DPS that's going to fall off. But that's okay, because the nice thing is you'll run out of ammo faster. You just switch to another gun and start doing damage with something else, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's still going to do a lot of damage. So anyway, another damage change, chip damage. Certain weapons, specifically swords and bastion, bypass shields by varying amounts, which has caused numerous issues with stasis-encased enemies and counter mechanics and other content. So they've removed chip damage from swords and bastion. You know, I guess that's fine. If it's causing issues with, like, the actual game working correctly, then, you know, they got to do what they got to do. So I don't see that being any kind of major meaningful change. Somebody out there is probably going to tell me that I'm very wrong, and this is going to be a wildly important change. Certainly, I had seen in the past where some weapons are, you know, damaging through shields. But if that damage is just going to be, hopefully, you know, just redirected into the shield itself, then I think it's all going to come out pretty much the same. So we'll see. We'll see if this is truly a nerf or if it's just sort of a change.
Well, I mean, it definitely seems like it's going to be a nerf in PvE, and they pretty much said that because that was one of Bastion's perks, was that it bypassed some amount of damage, which made it useful as a kinetic against, you know, elemental shielded enemies. Prior to these changes, I had never really used Bastion in PvE anyways, so it didn't really bother me. Of course, now the secondary change that they're making is to buff it a little bit. They're giving it unstoppable intrinsic, right? So now it will be more useful in PvE, which is a good thing. So, you know, I'm ambivalent about this change. Obviously, in PvP, if someone is frozen and you hit them with Bastion, they're dying no matter what, regardless of the chip damage, and same thing with the sword. So for PvP, this doesn't really affect me at all. For PvE, it doesn't really affect anyone because no one was using it in PvE anyways. So it's kind of like, well, now it may actually be worse in PvE, but now it will actually see use in PvE because it's going to have intrinsic unstoppable.
Well, so let's take that opportunity to segue over to the exotic changes. We'll come back to the perks in a little bit here and discuss those. But let's kind of go down to the bottom and work up here. So Bastion, right? They're removing chip damage, like you said. They're adding an intrinsic ability to stagger unstoppable champions, which is something that I really hope that they do for maybe not every exotic, but a lot more exotics. You know, if we've got these champions, they're with us forever, it would be really nice if exotics, like, I think that would make all exotics feel a little more exotic if they all had an ability to take down some champion. It would be one of those buffs where it would be, like, so specific and yet also so useful that I feel like it would increase usage for a lot of them without necessarily making any meaningful change to the game, because we were already going to be using some kind of perk to stagger a champion anyway. So anyway, that's just my two cents on something that is totally irrelevant to the current discussion. But the other change is the inevitable fusion rifle nerf, increasing the spread angle on Bastion by 13%, because fusion rifles have been so dominant and oppressive in PvP. You can't play a match without coming up against at least three people who are just using fusion rifles and just slaughtering everyone the whole match with them. Wait, no. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of shotguns. Anyway,
I did find it to be very funny. Yeah, I did find it to be very funny that they were like, we've noticed that usage numbers are higher than normal in PvP, and the usage numbers are like 2%. Like, legitimately, like 2% are the usage numbers in PvP. Not even, doesn't even exist on PC, basically. Just on console, the usage numbers are like 2%. And they're like, higher than normal usage numbers, gotta nerf it. Now, granted, increased spread angle by 30%, even they say that this is a small change. What that means, and Kutch and I spent a lot of time talking about this, but basically what it means is there's like a cone that your gun fires outwards in, right? And what that means is that up close, the shots are packed more tightly together, and far away, the shots spread out along that error angle, and they widen out. And what that does is it provides a useful range for the weapon up, you know, outside of which the gun is no longer accurate. Bastion has a wider spread right now because it functions kind of like a shotgun. Like, it shoots a circular pattern or a hexagonal pattern of shots, and then it shoots three of them, right? And as you get further away, those shots spread out so that you're less likely to get a kill because less of them are going to connect, right? So basically what they're doing is they're just widening that spread by about, you know, 13%. So, you know, say for example, if the angle right now is 30%, there was a cone that had an angle of 30% at the point coming out of the gun, an angle of 30 degrees coming out of the nose of the gun, the barrel of the gun, it would now be like 34 degrees is basically what that angle will be, right? So, you know, imagine a shotgun has an angle of like 90 degrees, which is a super wide cone. And then a sniper rifle has an angle of 0 degrees, which is basically just like a straight line. So this will now have an angle. And obviously, I don't know the actual angle. We could figure it out. Like, we could go shoot against a wall and measure it out. Like, we could figure out what the actual angle is right now. But based on my usage, and Kutch and I were talking about, somewhere probably between 30 and 40 degrees is probably where it is. So it's probably a 4 to 5 degree increase, which I believe will probably have the effective change of like maybe knocking like a meter and a half off of the useful range of it is what I would assume, not having played it. And as we know from our testing, the useful range of Bastion, despite what people want to say, a lot of people say, oh, Bastion has a 20 meter useful range. It actually doesn't. It's actually about 16 meters. Because outside of that, it hits super hard damage fall off and the spread gets so wide that you're not connecting even after three things. So what people don't understand is that a lot of the time when you're dying to Bastion, it's because you've already taken some damage, and Bastion can stretch far on people who are damaged. But on a full health Guardian, Glacioclasm outranges it handedly, you know? So it's probably going to be like 14 meters or 15 meters, which is frustrating and unfortunate. But, you know, people complain enough and stuff gets changed, even though I personally am of the belief that it doesn't really need to be.
Yeah, this definitely feels like it's going to be a fairly small nerf to Bastion, which, again, is good. If they're going to nerf it, I would rather that they do something like this than that they simply remove it from the sandbox altogether. So we'll see. We'll see exactly how that works out, right? Bungie never gives us... I shouldn't say never. Bungie rarely gives us a 100% visibility into exactly what they're doing. Maybe this will be clarified further in the full change notes that we'll get down the road. But right now, it does look like it's going to be a pretty small change. And I think one side effect here is that it will further increase the skill gap in terms of using Bastion. Now, I know Take a breath. I know a lot of you are thinking, what skill gap? It's a fusion rifle. It's just a win button. But it's actually, it takes a little bit of practice to make sure that you're actually landing those slugs. And to get really good at landing those slugs in midair and in motion against moving targets on a consistent basis, it takes some practice. It takes some skill to effectively use this weapon. I think this is going to increase the level of skill required to effectively use this weapon. So I think that the only people who are, out of all of the people who are using it, the lower skill ones are more likely to drop out as a result of this, which means that the people who are still using Bastion are still going to be very good with it, and probably people will keep complaining because they'll still get killed by it. Not because... Yeah. The gun is overpowered, but because the only people using it are ridiculously good.
Yeah, I had this disagreement with someone on Twitter, but he was like, and in fairness, looking at the numbers from this most recent week, Bastion has trended upwards. It's now actually at 4%. And even as high as 5% on PlayStation. On PlayStation, it's actually the fourth most used weapon in Trials behind, obviously, 120 hand cannons and Felwinters. Felwinter is still sitting pretty at 12%. Astral Horizon is tied with Bastion at 5%. So the usage has been trending upwards, at least in Trials, which is interesting.
I think that, honestly, we're probably, even with this nerf, going to see Bastion usage increase a little bit further because Thresh. Like, it's just a hard counter if someone is trying to, like, Thresh bomb in combination with a bunch of perks and get their super really early, what is your only recourse? You either have to be a pretty decent sniper and catch them at a distance, or you need to use Bastion. Like, what else are you going to do? I mean, I guess you could also do the same thing, right, and just try to get your super before them, but then they're just going to, you know, you'll get your super, go nuts, they'll get their super immediately after and go nuts, and you're kind of, you know, even at that point. Bastion is a counter,
which is unfortunate, because really what's going to happen is Bastion is going to end up, so you're correct, I believe Bastion use is going to go up after this. Number one, Felwinters and Astral are losing one of the perks, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, that makes them so incredibly strong. They're losing that perk. Bastion usage is going to go up because comparatively, Felwinters and Astral got nerfed much harder than Bastion did. So yes, because of the way that balance works out, Bastion usage is going to go up. Like you said, more supers, Bastion usage is going to go up because it shuts down supers. And unfortunately, I'm concerned that they're going to take away they're going to make their own takeaway from that. And they're going to say, oh, we need to nerf Bastion because people are using it to shut down supers. No, more things need to shut down supers. Bastion's one main strength right now is that it can shut down supers because it has such high damage output and supers have such high damage resistance across the board. More special weapons need to be able to shut down supers. Bastion should not be special in that case. I should be able to shut down a super with way more options than I can currently. And unfortunately, I think what's going to happen is they're going to nerf Bastion's damage output is what's going to come out of all of this. Bastion's damage output is going to get nerfed and we're going to go back to having little to no options to take down supers.
So I agree with that. It would be nice to see more viable super shutdown options. Maybe linear fusion rifles. They got to be good for something. So maybe that could be their thing. We'll see. We'll see. I guess in a week or two here. But also, I really feel like Thresh needs to not be a PvP perk, and just in general, like speeding up the rate of super gain in PvP via kills. Like, you already get super energy from kills. So things that compound that, I think, need to not be a thing in PvP because it's essentially just a snowball effect, right? Someone is already really good. They're getting a lot of kills. That's going to help them win, right? And then you give them a super, which makes them, you know, nigh invulnerable and gives them a whole bunch more kills. That's called win more. Like, that's not necessary. You don't need more kills. You're already slain. And I'm not advocating necessarily for a complete, like, reversal where, like, getting killed gives you super energy, although that would be an interesting game mode. Where getting kills, you know, too fast maybe gives the other team a chance to catch back up, would certainly change the dynamic of the game. I'm not saying we have to go there, but I am saying let's not quadruple the amount of super energy someone is getting from kills because they don't need it.
Yeah, it's I mean, I was a fan of the D1 style where it was you got supers a lot faster, but in general they were significantly weaker than we have right now. You know, you could get 4 to 5 supers a match pretty easily, but your super was a one and done. You know, you got a single panic button. You would get as many kills with a super in one game as you get with one super in D2.
So. I mean, I'm not saying we need to nerf anything, but I just think, like, if Thresh is going to be in PvP, then it should do something like give you super energy on kills when you're losing, or something, right? It should give you some way to change the flow of the game. It shouldn't just reinforce people getting demolished. Which I think it's just going to be toxic. I really do. I think it's going to be super toxic.
We'll have to see. I mean, I have always thought that there was good motivation to invest in certain specific builds with the rewards that it could give you, with things like faster grenade cooldowns or charged with light giving you bonus damage. Supers were kind of just where I drew the line. And honestly, I would love for them to just be like, just kidding, we made a mistake, Thresh only works in PvE again, and go back to it, as opposed to even making any more complicated thing. I mean, they've shown a willingness to balance the sandboxes separately. I'm totally okay with having perks that only work in PvP and only work in PvP, or PvE and PvP. Like, I'm totally okay with that. And I would hope that they, you know, I would hope that they would see that and they'd go back to it. But, you know, enough about that. We also have a change to the Lament coming up where Basically they were just like, hey, you know, we removed the chip damage. It still is going to have its anti-barrier, so don't worry about that. But they did reduce the damage of the revved heavy attack by 16%. That's fine. Again, to me, the Lament was so far and away one of the best DPS options that, you know.
So much damage. Like, yeah. I couldn't even, like, read the numbers. It was just like, well, they're dead now, so I guess it worked.
Yeah, sometimes I really do question, like, if they have an overarching DPS comparison tool that they use at Bungie, or if they kind of just, like, throw stuff at a wall and they're like, oh, that feels good. Because sometimes, like, you look at the damage numbers that stuff does, and you're like, this is so far out of line compared to everything else that's in the game. Like, why does it do this much damage? And sometimes it's like, oh, because it's a new exotic and we want people to use it and have fun.
Right.
Like, let's purposely make it a little bit overpowered. But then what inevitably happens is, like, it has to come down to them being like, okay, the Lament was fun for a year. Like, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Now it's like, we got to make other stuff competitive.
Whisper. Yeah. This is not new. So I'm not upset about it at all. The Lament is... I was a little bit upset about Whisper, but I guess
I'm still upset about Whisper. There were certain things where I felt like power creep was okay. Like, here you want to know a true unpopular statement, probably from Bungie's perspective. I actually thought that auto reloading perks are good for boss DPS, and they're good for calculation of DPS and making things more uniform. As long as you have to do something to get that, like use a super or like use a class ability or something, I actually think that auto reloading perks are good for those scenarios because it standardizes DPS into actually being damage per shot times rate of fire and like moving through it like that. As opposed to right now, you have a million different things that you can spec into with reload speeds and perks that change reload speed, and now DPS is like wildly variable across the spectrum. And although that may be better to say like, oh, well, now you have to invest in reload speed. Well, you always had to invest in reload speed because with your primary weapon, you need reload speed to kill adds as quickly as you possibly can because you're not wasting one of those auto reloading perks on it. But for DPS, the ability to just fire nonstop throughout the entire phase, like standardized DPS to within a window. And I liked that it did that. And so my unpopular opinion is that I actually think that auto reloading perk should be a thing because it made stats meaningful on certain guns that otherwise are not meaningful at all.
Well, I can respect that.
Yeah. It's because I don't like PvE and I want everything to be as simple as possible in PvE. And auto reloading made things simple. I was actually working on a DPS spreadsheet because I was like, oh, this is great. Like everything auto reloads. And then they took away auto reloading and I was literally like, nah, not worth it anymore. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, I feel like either approach can be valid. They both have maybe, certainly I think auto-reloading has a lot more perks from the community perspective. But obviously the game developer perspective has its own consideration. So anyway, that's a topic for another day. Let's talk about some perks. So Reservoir Burst. Now increases magazine size in addition to its other effects, and they reduced the full battery bonus damage from 33% to 25%. They did this despite no one complaining about it because upcoming content requires revisiting the power level of a damage perk that can be activated simply by having a full magazine. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. So apparently we are going to be doing a raid in an old Hake weapons factory where it literally rains ammunition the entire time.
And main ingredient, I guess, will be coming back, or some version of main ingredient, or not main ingredient. Oh God, I can't even remember the loaded question.
Yes.
Loaded question will be coming back.
Loaded question did a lot of damage on that full mag, and I never really got to fully appreciate it, I didn't feel like.
It was fun in PvP when you could get enough scavengers to get a full mag, and then you could just melt people with it. But yeah, so it's nice that they're giving it a larger magazine size too. That will make it more beneficial. I think that that's a good change for whatever secret it is that they're bringing back.
Or maybe it's a new PvP mode where you just have unlimited special ammo all the time.
Wouldn't that be nice? And then Frenzy, which Kutch pointed out earlier, and actually I guess before the episode, that we potentially were wrong about Frenzy because of the way that we look at perks. But it has extremely high uptime in PvE, especially in in-game content, and it's just clearly better than other damage perks. So they want to preserve the high uptime, but they don't want it to give as much damage. So they're bringing the damage modifier from plus 20% to plus 15%, which is a relatively small nerf, considering you're still going to have ridiculous uptime with it. Yeah, we definitely underestimated this perk. But in fairness, I did use it for like 10 games in PvP, and I saw it proc once. So
I, after we recorded that, I went back and I specifically spent a bunch of time with my... I only have it on an SMG, which is part of my frustration. And I will say it did make a big difference, and it was up for the vast majority of every combat encounter. And I did think to myself, gosh, we might have to talk about this again. And here we are. So we were wrong. We are podcast enough to admit it. And
we know our limitations. We don't play a ton of PvE, although I did do the Proving Grounds Grandmaster successfully once.
Oh, congratulations.
Failed it multiple times, and then finally got one run that was successful. Yeah, I'm PvE endgame now, boys. That's all about it. But yeah, well, regardless, I don't think that's that big of a change. I don't think people are going to be super frustrated with it. Now, something that people are going to be super frustrated about, coming here to the end, Quick Draw.
Oh, boy.
The perk is intended to provide faster swap speed. Note that they say swap, which is bidirectional as opposed to draw or stow, which is unidirectional. But it also passively, and again, note that they say it also passively buffs handling by plus 100. This completely negates the downside of using low handling weapons like aggressive shotguns, sniper rifles, and hand cannons, and that's not something they want to encourage. These weapons should have downsides, and working around those completely via perk isn't healthy. We don't think allowing a fast swap to the shotgun subfamily with the highest one-hit kill range is great either. So they are now removing the plus 100 handling bonus 1 second after switching to this weapon or upon ADSing. And they are replacing quick draw with surplus on new and existing drops of Fellwinters and Astral Horizon. So that potentially has the ability to be read a number of different ways. And we were kind of discussing how we felt about it. I think there's two possibilities. One is that quick draw basically no longer provides an ADS bonus at all. And I think that that's going to be the same no matter what, because it says it removes it when you go ADS or after 1 second of drawing the weapon. So I think the ADS bonus from quick draw is just entirely gone.
I would agree with that. I think the more I read it, the more it sounds like they are moving quick draw to actually just be what it was maybe intended to be originally, instead of quick draw being both quick draw and snapshot in one perk, which is what it has been for its entire life as a perk up until now. Right. If you had quick draw and snapshot, you were like, well, I'm happy with snapshot, but I'd rather have quick draw because it does both things.
And snapshot did it a little bit more than quick draw did. But at the same time, quick draw provided just way more benefits. So
yeah.
Then I guess my clarification becomes, if the handling bonus goes away after 1 second, does that mean that your stow speed is now slower? Or does quick draw still have an effect on slow speed even without the handling bonus? Because, I mean, I guess technically it's quick draw. So drawing the weapon is going to be very fast every time. But is stowing the weapon going to be slow? Because, I mean, I'm not entirely sure. Because I feel like if stowing the weapon is still fast, then quick draw is still a pretty useful perk. If only drawing the weapon is fast, then quick draw is now significantly less useful than it was before.
And that is the million-dollar question that they have not answered at this point. It's very hard to say how they're going to apply that. Now, that said, the way I'm reading this is that if you pull the gun out, fire it without ADSing, and then put it away, it will have faster swap speed in both directions. So, you know, and obviously this isn't possible now because quick draw is no longer going to be a perk on Fellwinter's Lie. But, for example, if you were to, say, you know, go into an engagement, quickly draw Fellwinter's Lie, fire it without ADSing, which does mean that you don't get the benefit of full choke, but you do get the benefit maybe of opening shot and accurized rounds and it being a high impact shotgun, then you could immediately put it away and be none the worse for wear, and it's still going to have, you know, considerable effectiveness. Or you do the same thing with your Astral Horizon, whatever. Now, obviously, that's simply not going to be an option anymore for the aggressive shotguns. That is going to be an option, I think, for some other shotguns that have lower one-hit kill ranges. And so that may be a reason for PvP players who like the shotgun lifestyle to much more strongly consider going with a gun that has a lower one-hit kill range. Especially since aiming down sights, short of having full bore, doesn't do anything on shotguns anymore in terms of your effective range. So, you know, hip firing is already, for the majority of shotguns, the way to go. You just get rifled barrel, and if there's any benefit to having that extra range, you've got it from the hip fire. And you know, that's the direction I think they're pushing you, is if you want to quickly draw it, use it, and put it away, you don't get to have the maximum one-hit kill range and the maximum damage on your shotgun. And so that's, we've got to talk about the other weapon archetypes that they are hitting here as well. But that's the way I'm reading it. Does that make sense?
I mean, as much as the way they wrote it, it makes sense. I mean, my, it's just, it's their phraseology is throwing me for a loop, because it says a number of things. Number one, it says this perk is intended to provide faster swap speeds, but it also, they don't say it does this by, right? They don't say it provides faster swap speeds by buffing handling by plus 100. They say, but it also, so my thought process is there is some scaler in place behind the scenes that provides faster swap speeds, both draw and stow. And then in addition to that, it buffs handling by 100. So if that is the case, and if that is the case and all they're doing is removing the handling buff, that means it will still have a faster stow speed than it would without the perk. That's one way that I read that. However, if the only thing they wanted to do was prevent you from using quick draw for ADS speed, then the handling bonus would not be removed 1 second after switching to a weapon. It would just be removed when you go ADS, right? Like, that would just remove the handling bonus if that was the only thing they wanted to do. So what I'm kind of gathering here is that quick draw, drawing the weapon, is always going to be the maximum benefit, plus 100 to handling and whatever scaler is in the background. Stowing the weapon will have the quick draw scaler, but not the plus 100 handling. And ADSing will never have the plus 100 handling that it had. So drawing will be as fast as it is right now. Stowing will be slightly slower than it is right now, but still faster than without quick draw. And ADSing will just be normal. That's kind of the way I'm translating what it is that they wrote. But at the same time, we also know that sometimes they don't quite understand the perk themselves when they're writing this stuff, and they phrase things incorrectly. But with the phraseology that they gave, those points that I, you know, just gave you, saying also passively buffs handling by 100 and removes the handling bonus after 1 second, that's the only way that I feel like I can translate the changes that they're making.
Yeah, I think that's probably, assuming that the wording they chose was deliberate and accurate, that's probably what's going to happen.
Which is a dangerous assumption to make, because many times in the past it has not been. But that's what I'm assuming. You know, I'm a gullible guy. You tell me something and I believe it. And I believe it's the truth. And they're telling me with these words that this is how it works and that these are the changes they're making. And to me, that's really the only way I can read it. I feel like they could have made this a lot clearer pretty easily by just saying what it was going to do.
Yeah.
Instead of saying the changes that they were going to make. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, basically.
So, yeah, long story short, quick draw, regardless of what it does, right? If it only affects ADS speed, or if it affects ADS and slow speed, or stow speed, it's a pretty big change. And what's weird to me is that I feel like they could have gotten away with just replacing quick draw with surplus on Fellwinter's Lie and Astral Horizon, and probably been fine with that change. Like, the majority of the community probably would have been okay with it. I don't know that a lot of people are complaining about quick draw right now on snipers. Yes, it's a perk you kind of have to have, but nobody's freaking using snipers. So it's like you're punishing the few people that are using snipers, which is already a fraction of the population. You are punishing them by making quick draw worse if they don't have snapshot in addition to it. You're punishing them by making it worse. Now, if stow speed is slower, then blinting is going to be harder. You know, quick scoping is going to be harder, but nobody was doing that anyways. It was such a small number of people that were doing that. Quick draw on a primary was a niche market. Nobody's using quick draw on fusion rifles. Like, nobody's using, I feel like there was only one set of weapons that quick draw was actually a problem on, and you could have solved that problem by just replacing them with surplus on Astral Horizon and Fellwinter's Lie, and I feel like the entire problem would have been solved.
I mean, in terms of addressing this issue, I think you're probably right. That said, I do think that quick draw has probably been stronger than intended literally since it became a perk. It's always been a top-tier perk choice, and that was always because it not only affected swap speed, but also passively buffed handling, right? It just automatically set your handling to the maximum that the weapon could have. And it sounds like maybe, you know, that was, I don't know if that was what they intended or not originally, or if that was just like the easiest way for them to buff swap speed. And they just never went back and changed it because they never felt like it was a massive issue in the past. And I don't think it was necessarily a massive issue, but that said, you know, I made a crack earlier about shotguns being incredibly dominant and potentially oppressive in some ways in the Crucible. And this does have the effect of targeting that issue directly, and specifically targeting the perk that rewards people using shotguns without foresight or forethought. So the skill, again, the skill ceiling on shotgun use just got higher, and the skill floor also got a bit higher. You can get caught with your pants down a little more easily now, and you don't have a get-out-of-jail-free card anymore. All that said, Surplus is pretty solid perk for a lot of people. I don't know that it's a super solid perk for me particularly, but I don't think it's bad enough that I would choose not to use Fellwinter's Lie if that was the gun that I wanted. That said, this is a little bit of a passive buff to Duality, which still has that extra meter and a half of effective range that they gave it. Never had Quick Draw in the first place, and really looks a lot better. Pairs great with the Steady Hand if you just want to be a complete and total meta ape. And, you know, I people are always going to choose the gun that works best for them, right? So we'll see what happens here. But this is a pretty big hit to shotgun users. And it is very unfortunate that sniper rifle users get caught up in the mix. That said, I can only hope that we're going to get maybe some bigger PvP maps. They've said they're going to be making changes to PvP in the future, so maybe we'll see big team battles finally come to Destiny. Please, oh please, I would love that. And we'll get a big map to play it on, and snipers will suddenly be actually really good, and that's why they can't have Quick Draw.
Yeah, we can wish for things. We can wish for things. Yeah, it's definitely going to make some interesting changes to what's going on. I think you're right that Duality is going to see... Duality is honestly already really good right now. It blows my mind that more people don't see how good Duality is and they don't use it. Maybe they're just uncomfortable with giving up Wardcliff Coil. You know, they really like that heavy weapon. But Duality is extremely, extremely good. So I would not be surprised at all to see that uptick. I think people are also forgetting that there are other ways to get high handling speed.
Oh yeah.
Yes, Quick Draw as a perk is taking a hit. There are a lot of ways to get high handling and even particular high ADS speed, right? You can use exotic armor. You can use dexterity mods. There are a ton of other perks out there, Surplus being one of them. Celerity now gives a handling buff. Pulse Monitor basically gives Quick Draw automatically when you have your shield broken, right? So Pulse Monitor is going to be much better. Celerity is going to be much better. Surplus is going to be better by comparison. Dexterity mods, targeting mods for ADS, Ophidian aspects, and like handling exotics. Like, you guys will find a way. The difference is it's not just a single perk. Now you're going to have to spec in a couple different ways to get that same bonus that you were going to get before.
Right.
So you will be able to get there, and now you actually maybe care about a handling masterwork, right? Whereas you didn't really before. Maybe now you care about a handling barrel, whereas you didn't before. So people are like, oh my god, this is going to ruin my guns. And yes, it may ruin your current build or your current role, but if you really, really want to get that same level that Quick Draw is providing you, you will be able to get it. It's just going to require a different type of investment.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is probably, if we're being objective, a healthy change for the sandbox. You know, shotguns are not going to stop being the most popular special weapon. because they have always been the most popular special weapon, no matter how much they have been nerfed. And this, you know, compared to some of the nerfs they have had in the past, has, you know, is really not that bad. There was a very long time when you did not have top tier shotguns that also could be drawn instantly, and they were still extremely popular. So I'm not too worried about it. I know it's a bummer that existing roles are getting swept up in it too, but at the same time, leaving those existing roles alone with sunsetting no longer being on the table was going to create a lot of imbalance problems. So it's the bitter pill that you swallow, so that we can move forward as a single community. Well, do we have some questions we want to answer real quick?
We do, and I'm going to try to just get through a couple of them. Actually, and this may have been because I had already read these questions before, so I kind of made sure to talk about them. But ZinSoCal asks, are the 120 changes sufficient of an indirect buff to 140s to make them competitive, or still not? What about any kind of pulse rifles, specifically high-impact pulse rifles like Messenger? Just got a huge indirect buff. They're going to be significantly stronger than these ones are right now. Also, rapid fire pulses got an indirect buff. And I mean, all pulses did, like top to bottom. The ones that I think you're going to see the most of are Time Worn Spire and Messenger. I think you're going to see the most out of those. Maybe no time to explain. 140s, are they going to be competitive? Ace of Spades will be. Palindrome, you will see more usage. I don't know that sweat players are going to choose 140s over 120s yet.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair summing up.
Super Say says, which scouts pulses are going to be more viable now that 120s aren't all up in their grill? Obviously, pulse rifles we just talked about, scout rifles, Symmetry, Trusty, the lower range scout rifles, Mida, are going to be much more valuable. Donk comes in, and Donk and Jurist actually both had the same thing. They said, the wording on Bastion confuses me. How is this going to affect the spread? I think we kind of went over that with numbers earlier, but you know, we said if that top point of the cone, if the triangle coming out of the barrel has a 30 degree angle, now it's like a 34 degree angle. If it has a 40 degree angle, now it's like a 45 degree angle, right? So hopefully that explains it. Oracle says, does the quick draw nerf make the buff celerity more desirable to you? To me, yes, 100% it does.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I think celerity, in addition to the buff that it already had, just became a really good option for a lot of people.
Russian05 says, how much pleasure are you taking the fact that QD quick draw shoddy apes are getting mad and Bastion is going to dominate the meme winter season? I'm not actually taking any pleasure in that, because that's a surefire way for Bastion to get nerfed, right? And like, I don't actually want Bastion to be nerfed. So if Bastion's usage numbers flip-flop with quick draw shoddies and Bastion starts seeing like 6% usage at a pretty regular pace, it's 100% going to get nerfed. So yeah. I would actually prefer that it does not, but you know, that's just me. Gilded Cavalier says, they just created a dead perk for primaries with this change. If it doesn't still buff stow speed the same level it did before, they in fact did 100% create a dead perk for primaries. So that's why I'm kind of hoping that stow speed still has a buff associated with quick draw. Because that is a concern to me, that this will now become, not only, this will basically become a wasted perk on primaries, which would be quite unfortunate. A guy named Dave says, are there any changes that you could make, or that they could make, that would actually move the community away from hand cannon shoddy? In-air accuracy to other primaries would be a huge one. And if you did the same thing to snipers intrinsically, because what shotguns and hand cannons do is they allow a type of movement that you can't get with any other primary or special. And I think that would be the first step that it would take to sway people away from hand cannon shoddy.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if they add, even if it's not at the same level, if they just reduce the punishment that you suffer for being in air with some other archetypes, it would make a massive difference. You know, if they gave it to scouts would suddenly see a huge uptick.
Yeah. And we're seeing that kind of with Dead Man's Tale and Lion Ramparts on Titan. I mean, that's personally what I'm using because I can be in air accurate with my DMT hip firing. And then Kiosk, the last one we're going to go over today, says your thoughts about Bungie introducing more guns to IB, but giving no way of focusing what you want to farm. It is unfun to turn in 1,000 tokens with nothing to show for it. What could change? How in that regard? We already talked about this before, but we would love to see the system for the seasonal content where you can target your farms, like Umbralingrams and stuff. I would love to see that shifted over to all of the core activities: strikes, PvP, trials, Iron Banner, Gambit. I would love to see that system where you level up and you can target your farms or target your engrams or target your drops. I would love to see that type of system. Barring that, because that's a huge change, I would love for them to go back to the way of how it was in D1, where you only got random drops on level ups and the post-game drops were just, it was like one of four options or one of two options or something like that, and that was all that it was. And they were like raining like candy down, basically. It's kind of targeted like that now, but it's swapped the other way to where you get a lot of level up drops, which are entirely random, and you get less post game drops. Whereas in D1, it was swapped the other way around. You only got like five level up drops, but you got every other game, it felt like you got a post game drop that was targeted. So I would like to see that.
Yeah, I would disagree. I really did not like that mode of things. I felt like they were just dropping too much random stuff on me. I would much, it may be a big change, but they've already shown that they can put it in the game, and their vendor subsystems have needed like a complete revamp since the launch of Destiny 2. They were awful then. They're less awful now,
But still pretty bad.
but like they just. Like we just need like a season where they revamp all the core activities and they just give them all, they don't even have to be that complicated. They just give them all this sort of targeted level up ability. Yeah, that's just for me, that's the answer. That would make Destiny so much more engaging and like it would just add so much long-term pursuit to the game. You know,
I
especially if it
agree.
was something that they refreshed maybe, once a year. All the vendors get a complete refresh, you have to re-level them. I think that would be phenomenal.
I mean, even if they did it seasonally, I know that seasonally it would be hard because they'd have to come up with new stuff every season.
I think that would be
But
too many things to level.
yeah.
So, that's why I said once a year. I think once a year is,
Yeah, yearly would be fine. Yearly would be totally fine. I'd be okay with it.
because you do your seasonal stuff, you level it all up, you get tired of it, and then you go back and you pick your next vendor to work on in the background. So, anyway, that's my thoughts.
All right, guys, that is it for this episode. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.